everyone. Welcome to this month's edition of 30-30, where we're going to go over what happened in the last 30 days in 30 minutes or less. We're going to go through, I believe, six topics that have been, been the most talked about things around, the organic search industry and really just the digital industry as in general. And then we'll leave some time for questions and answers, same as last time. So what are we going to cover today? And as it loads... So we're going to update from last month. Facebook launched their new reactions. It's in beta right now in Spain and Ireland, but, we'll go through that. There's been a big problem with Wix websites. A lot of fallout from that for Google, a big glitch there. We're going to go through the AMP-enabled search pages, which we'll get into. If you have an Ajax site, we're going to have a little bit of bad news for you. We're going to talk about RankBrain, which is Google's cool new machine learning AI. And then we're going to talk about the real-time Penguin update, which they're saying is going to happen by 2015. So, starting off, an update from last month. So, I had said that Google was actually going to be launching a dislike button. They've kind of embellished that and gone an extra step, and they actually have launched something called Reactions. And what that is in addition to the like button, we're also going to have a few other emojis that we can actually click to show our emotions. And a lot of it's to show empathy, to show different types of emotions, so that you're not saying that you like everything, even when someone puts up something not so great, you're not liking that, just to show your support. The other emojis are love, haha, yay, wow, sad, and angry. So, angry is probably the closest thing to the dislike button, but at the end of the day, when they came out with this, it makes sense, right? And it's going to be good for businesses because it's going to show us a lot of data, right? Right now, it's only in beta in Spain and Ireland. So if you're in those areas, you can use it. If you have a presence in those areas, you can use it. Here in the U.S., though, we're not going to be seeing that, really anytime soon, in my opinion. We're probably going to have to wait a few more months before they even announce if they're going to move forward with it. I can't imagine that they wouldn't, though, because as you can see, what does it mean for you? There's definitely a benefit for businesses here, right? They see an opportunity for publishers to get better, better understanding of how people are interacting with their content. And I can say from my perspective that, putting something up, say you're running a contest, right, and you have a certain product, and you can say that you like or you love this thing, you think something's funny, or you're angry about it or sad about it, you can gauge your customers' reactions to certain things. Hey, you put out a certain product that targets a certain thing, right? You can like it, you can love it. If you're angry about it or sad about it, that gives you a whole new area of data that you can focus on, and also gives you a little bit more insight as to what you should do going forward. So you're not putting out the same content over and over, the same types of content over and over that people are having negative emotions towards. So while some people, and I've had a lot of colleagues and a lot of customers call me and start talking about this, they're like, I don't understand why this matters, why I should care about this. It kind of just seems like, an extension of texting, right? These are just different emojis that we can use. But from a business perspective, I think it's actually really cool and actually gives a lot of people a lot of new insight into business and to different things and to different reactions that people are having to products or services or offerings. So I think that this could be really important going forward. We'll keep our eye on it. We'll keep you updated on it. But right now, again, it's only available in Spain and Ireland. But I would think in the next few months, Facebook will start rolling this out, worldwide. So, Wix. Do you use a Wix site? If you do, that's a total bummer because a bug has popped up within Google Search, and unfortunately, Wix sites have started to fall out of the index. For those of you who are not familiar with Wix, it's one of those, easy to do website sites that you can kind of box, kind of like Squarespace, where you can box together your website very easily, and it's very SEO friendly normally. Now, the bug that has popped up that has been plaguing a lot of Wix users, which are unfortunately a lot of small businesses, is that Google has stopped crawling and indexing these sites. Why is that happening? to be honest with you, they don't really have an answer. Google is working on a fix right now. So Wix sites are actually still falling from the index and dropping out of sight. Now, this is just really unfortunate for people who use Wix. And like I said, it's normally smaller businesses that use it because, you know, it's very cost effective to use services like this in Squarespace. But at the end of the day, you know, Google doesn't have a definitive answer. Not that they usually have a definitive answer for anything or really want to explain anything, especially when they're in the wrong. Because when you think about it, this is really Google, you know, this is a problem with Google's technology that Wix is falling out of the index. So at the end of the day, it's a shame that it's happening. But there's really nothing you can do if you're using Wix. Google is working on a fix. They said it will be rolling out sometime in the near future, quote unquote. But at the end of the day, no one really knows when that's going to happen. So if you're on Wix, there's no answer for you here right now on when that's going to happen. A lot of people think that it might have something to do, and I also personally believe this, that Google has recently stopped. Supporting their Ajax crawling scheme. We're going to get into that in a couple of slides. But, you know, Wix heavily relies on Ajax and JavaScript, but it does heavily rely on Ajax. So this happening around the same time is a little too coincidental for me to think that they don't have something to do with one another. So, again, that's just something that's going on and unfortunate for Wix users. A cool new thing that's been coming out, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Google Search for Accelerated Mobile Pages. What this is, if you ever use Facebook, and, you know, Facebook has instant articles, right? And that's when, you know, something where you click on something and it instantaneously pops up, right? Facebook's been using for a while. The AMP project is something very similar to that. And how it works is that, you know, Google, you know, has cached versions of all these pages, right? And for these accelerated mobile pages, and it's really only for publishers at this time, so if you're not a publisher, this doesn't necessarily apply to you right now, maybe in the future, but, you know, really they're working with a lot of publishers on this, but, you know, the cached version of that page is being brought up automatically when someone clicks on an article in this carousel, and you can see in the first image a carousel pops up. Much like the knowledge graph carousel, but for this, it's for articles. And when you click on that article, there's no load times. It goes right to the article, and they're saying that it's pulling from a cached version of it to instantly serve it to users. So this is actually really cool, and you can learn more about it from the link here, theampproject.org, and this is something that's going to be ongoing. You know, again, Google's working with, I think, around 30 major publishers, so like Wall Street Journal and the likes of that are using these. And what it's doing is they're trying to, you know, keep people on, you know, within Google's results pages, but also serve things faster on mobile devices. This is only for mobile devices. With that said, you know, what should you be doing here? If you're a publisher, you should definitely look into this. And this isn't to say that you are converting your site to some kind of new code or some kind of new backend. What this really is you would actually serve both of the, you know, both, you know, two versions of each page. So your site would actually have two versions of one another. To avoid duplicate content, you would obviously be using canonical tags to take care of that. But what this is a new way to serve content on mobile devices. If you're a publisher, you should definitely visit the ampproject.org to look into it, because this could be the future of mobile search. This could be what Google is going to do going forward. This is a test right now. You know, this is in beta. A lot of people are, you know, this is it's a pilot program of sorts. So we'll see where this goes, and we'll keep you updated on that as well. So, bad news for Ajax sites. If your site is built in Ajax, Google is no longer supporting their Ajax crawling scheme. This is a big deal. In 2009, for anyone who doesn't know, Google announced a proposal that said that sites that were built in Ajax would be crawlable and indexable without any worry, right? They have now backtracked on that because they say, you know, I've read a lot of different forums and talked to a lot of different people, and they're saying that, you know, Ajax is just too difficult to continue to crawl and continue to index properly. It has a lot to do with the escape fragment URLs. They don't like them. They don't like how they perform. So basically right now, a lot of people are saying that they want you to use the principles of progressive enhancement. What does that mean? Use the link that I used in here to go and explain what that means. I'm not a developer, but you know, basically it's just a different way of building your site that goes away from Ajax and avoids or kind of sidesteps all these escape fragments URLs that comes along with Ajax. The big question is, so Google isn't supporting Ajax anymore. What do I do? Technically, they are still supporting it. It's not to say that they're not supporting it, but they're not going to for much longer, if you want my opinion. You know, they're saying, oh, yeah, you don't have to worry about this in the near future. This is something that is going to be ongoing. We'll figure it out. When Google stops supporting a technology, they stop supporting a technology. Google Plus is going to go away. If Google Plus is going to go away, and they've been kind of moving away and breaking parts out of that, you know, they're going to move away from Ajax probably very quickly. So I would think, you know, how does this affect you? If your site is built in Ajax, then you're going to have to think about rebuilding your site at some point in the near future. This is not within the next year, probably not even within the next 2 years, but when you think about it, that's not a lot of time. I would think in the next 3 to 5 years, probably 5 on the higher end, Google, you know, Ajax is going to become like Sanskrit. It's going to be a dead language, and, you know, no one's going to use it anymore, especially if it's going to, you know, especially if their people are going to be having a hard time getting it crawled and indexed. The Wix problem is very indicative of this, if you ask me, you know, because, again, Wix relies heavily on Ajax scripting and coding. So from there, this, you know, the two happening around the same time are very coincidental. In a very un-Google-like manner, they actually released a Q&A, and I'm just going to go through a couple of these because anyone who's listening who has Ajax built into their site or built in, you know, Ajax is how their site is built, you know, a lot of the basic questions are answered. So the first question, my site currently follows recommendations and supports escape fragment. Would my site stop getting indexed? Does that deprecate your recommendation? So the site will still be indexed according to Google. However, we recommend that you implement industry best practices when making the next update to your site. Instead of using the escape fragment URLs, you know, we'll generally crawl render the index of the pound sign exclamation URL. So you can see they're moving away from the escape fragment, which is what Ajax really depends on and relies on. Again, it's moving away from the Ajax crawling proposal to industry best practice. Consider a site move. Do I need to implement redirects? If your site setup is working fine, you shouldn't have to do it immediately. And here's an important word in here. You should not have to immediately change anything. That is Google, you know, kind of foreshadowing that you will have to do something. So again, they're moving away from this technology. If you're building a new site and restructuring an already existing site, avoid introducing escape fragment. Again, within this three-question Q&A, they have said to stay away from escape fragment URLs twice. So again, you don't want to use escape fragment URLs. I use a JavaScript framework, and my web server serves pre-rendered pages. Is that still okay? In general, websites shouldn't pre-render pages only for Google. So again, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but again, you can go through this later and you see that they're telling you to move away from the basic building blocks of Ajax, which means that this language is going to go the way of the dinosaurs sometime in the near future. And by near future, I mean within the next few years. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. Okay. So the next one, really cool thing came out this month. So Google introduced their machine learning artificial intelligence called RankBrain. And what this is and why it's such a big deal is that, you know, Google doesn't necessarily like to make a lot of PR buzz about any of their releases, right? We rarely hear anything about any algorithm updates unless it's Hummingbird or, you know, something really big. You know, at the end of the day, they have gone to great lengths to promote RankBrain, and it's actually really cool. If you go to the article that has the FAQ, there's a lot of interesting little factoids about this. At the end of the day, what it is, it's part of the Hummingbird algorithm. So this is not a new algorithm. This is more like Panda and Penguin. It's something that is plugged into the algorithm, right? And it's entirely new part of it, and it's machine learning artificial intelligence that is they're saying processing over 75% of queries that Google is currently doing on a daily basis. That's insane. Since Google gets hundreds of millions, if not billions, of queries through their search engine every single day. You know, how is it affecting you? To be honest with you, it's not really affecting you in that way. Now, Google is saying that it is the third most important ranking factor. That's a big deal, right? And that's affecting everyone. But, you know, affecting, it's not affecting you the same way that Penguin or Panda would affect you. This is affecting the way that Google is processing queries, right? It's the way that Google is working altogether. And we haven't seen any major shifts up and down from it necessarily, but what this is going to be building upon, you know, the theory of latent semantic indexing, right? That you should not only go after the keywords and write content that contains the keyword set that you're going after for that page, but you should be thinking about the bigger picture. You should be writing like as if you were writing for a human, right? Because as Google becomes more human, it's understanding more of our intent, more of the little nuances in our speech, more of the nuances in our writing. So this is kind of moving more towards, you know, making conversational search more important, making, writing for humans and writing in a human way much more important. And, you know, where you can learn more, like I said, Search Engine Land has a great FAQ about this that you should go do. And it's kind of creepy because, you know, at the end of the day, this is really Google kind of becoming Skynet, right? You know, this is where Terminator comes from. This is Google becoming more and more human and actually being able to teach itself how to do things better and how to serve and process queries better. So that's pretty cool. Okay, and the last one before we get to questions. The big thing that everyone is talking about right now is that the penguin filter on the Hummingbird algorithm is becoming real time by the end of 2015. So what does that mean? This means that Penguin will become slightly less annoying for us, for SEOs and people who run websites. Now, for anyone who doesn't know what Penguin is, this is the filter on the algorithm that affects backlinks and shady backlink practices and awards good backlinking practices, right? So what this is, it's moving into real time. Up until this point, Penguin has required manual data pushes, and they've only happened historically once a year. Now, that's really unfortunate for people, because if you got hit by something like this, and then all of a sudden, you know, you did all this extra work to get, you know, things, and you're going along, and months have gone by, and you're not seeing any improvements, that's because to actually get out of one of these penalties or algorithmic penalties, not necessarily a manual penalty, that's a separate issue that is caused by Penguin, but to get out of the algorithmic penalties that are caused by it, you would have to wait an entire year for that work to be validated, that work to be shown. This moving to real time is a really big deal because as Google crawls your site and as it crawls the rest of the web, it's going to find the work that you're doing on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, right? And we're going to be able to see, benefits as it discovers that you've gotten rid of links, you've added links, all depending on how you've done that. Hopefully everyone's staying in the world of the white hat. You know, that you're going to see those benefits in real time. You're not going to have to wait for that year-long data push. And this is, again, this goes back to RankBrain as well. This is Google moving towards being more real time, being more in the moment and processing things the way that a human would process things, right? So you do all this backlink, you do a link audit, you find that, oh my God, you know, I have 1,000 links that I need to get rid of. Let's say you get rid of half of them. You actually get a webmaster on email that will actually, you know, delete a link for you for free, which is very, very rare these days. And then you disavow the other half. And, you know, right now you would have to wait until the next manual data push to see that. By 2015, by the end of 2015, so next month, Google is stating that the real-time version of this will be live, and you'll get to see the benefits of that in real time. This is so important to all different types of businesses. It doesn't matter if you're big or you're small. This is something that affects everybody. It's the same with the Panda update, which they're also moving towards real time. They're saying that one might happen by the end of 2015 as well, which affects your content. But at the end of the day, the Penguin one is the more, this is the one that's the more dangerous one. That's the harder to get out of. So at the end of the day, this is a really big deal for SEOs, really big deal for business owners, especially small business owners that may have gotten into something that, you know, maybe they didn't necessarily, you know what they were doing, or they got in with an SEO who was, you know, less than favorable. This will allow them to fix these sites and not have to wait a whole year, because I've seen businesses go out of business because of this. So this is a really big deal, and this is really important to where the industry is now. And you can see, you know, the evolution of Google is really cool at this point. You know, we're seeing all these different things, and it's really cool to see, you know, to see that they're moving into a real time. So those are the big things that are happening right now, right? So at the end of the day, you know, these are things that you should keep in mind. The Ajax thing, if you have a site built in Ajax, really got to start thinking about what you're going to do next within the next few years with your site, especially if you're a large e-commerce site that relies on Ajax. That's a big deal. Wix, unfortunately, you're just going to have to wait it out until Google fixes it. And then everything else, you know, Facebook reactions, it'll happen when it happens. And, you know, the real-time Penguin update, you know, hopefully by the end of 2015, we'll see what happens with that. So with that, I'm going to start taking some questions and start answering a few things. And the first one is, how can you tell if your site is using Ajax? That is a great that's a great question. I would, you know, from that perspective, I would contact whoever built your site and then, you know, look and then ask them. That's the easiest way. You know, ask someone in your development team or IT team what the site is built in. If you can't, you can always Google examples of Ajax code and then look for similarities in your site. If your URLs have underscore escape fragment in them, which there's a lot of examples of what that looks like. You can just Google it. You'll start to see, you can pretty much confirm that you're using Ajax in that instance. So that's definitely something to keep in mind on. So, you know, a lot of easy ways to figure out that. So thanks for that question. Another question is, I'm not a publisher. Should I look into the accelerated mobile pages? That's a great question. As I said before, to be honest with you, it's probably something that you should learn about because it's most likely something that everyone is going to be open to using. Right now, it's not that you can't use them. It's that it's really for publishers. It's really for articles. So I guess you could go onto your blog pages and use these. But at the end of the day, it's really geared toward publishers right now. So this is something that I would go and learn about and learn if it's right for your business. Again, if you publish a lot of content, it makes sense for you. If you're an e-commerce site, you wouldn't want these versions, you wouldn't want a cached version of a page being pulled up because a lot of things may not render properly and that wouldn't be a good user experience for the, you know, for the user. So, you know, make sure it makes sense for your site, but definitely go learn about it and go to the ampproject.org and learn about it. Next one, will Bootstrap be affected by the Ajax update? So, that's a great question. My guess is yes. My guess is that everything that falls underneath the Ajax umbrella is going to be affected by this. Again, I am not a developer. This is a big deal in the industry right now. A lot of people are talking about it, and a lot of people are you know, somewhat unhappy about it. I have a lot of clients who have just recently built sites using Ajax, and this is a big problem. This could potentially be a big, expensive problem for a lot of companies. So again, nothing, you know, it's not that this is happening right now and that there's not going to be another, you know, that this is definitely, you know, Google is definitely stopping, you know, indexing. But, you know, again, sometime in the near future, they're gonna 100% stop supporting this, and it's not gonna be beneficial from an SEO standpoint to use Ajax. So from that perspective, I would say yes, anything that falls underneath the, you know, the Ajax umbrella should probably be avoided. Okay, another question: how do I optimize for RankBrain? Great question. And the answer to that is you don't necessarily optimize for RankBrain. What you do is you're writing your content. I tell, like, in all the training sessions that I do, I talk to people and I say, Google is more and more human every day, right? Even though it's a math equation floating out there in space, it is still becoming more and more human, and we have to speak to it as such. So what can you do to do that? If you want to pick, you know, it all comes down to your keyword strategy and creating themes around your pages, right? You know, pick 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 keywords per page that are all underneath the same umbrella, right? So t-shirts, red t-shirts, you know, women's red t-shirts, you know, women's short sleeve t-shirts, you know, all those fall underneath the same theme. And then write your page to that theme and make sure that that theme comes through, right? Because when you do that, even though Google is so advanced and understands all of these different things, at the end of the day, you still got to tell it what your page is about, right? So when you create these themes and when people come through and they're reading it, it's good for the user because they're going to connect with your content, but also it's going to be good for Google because it will also connect to that theme and it will allow this new area called RankBrain to, you know, process those queries and allow your that page to, you know, ultimately rank for more terms, which, you know, should lead to more traffic, right? You know, that's the, you know, that's the end goal, that it leads to more traffic and get more users, you get more conversions. So at the end of the day, you don't necessarily optimize for RankBrain. You optimize your site, you optimize your pages, you have sound theme strategies, you have sound keyword strategies, and you make sure that you're not targeting a million keywords on one page. That's all about five or six different things. So that's the way that I would quote unquote optimize for RankBrain, by continuing to optimize your site properly for humans and to optimize properly for all these things that, you know, all these different factors that are going in now in this real time, in this age of conversational search. We have time. We'll do one more. How long, we already answered that one. How long do I have to, has there been any update from Google on the Wix issue? That is a really good question. I know I had said this before. I'll reiterate. Unfortunately, no. You know, Google said the last thing that we had was, the last update that they have given us was that there is a fix coming. We don't know what that fix is. We don't know when that fix is going to be in place. But, you know, in very Google, you know, very Google-like fashion, it's just, we don't know, unfortunately. If you're using Wix, I'm sorry. I don't have a good answer for you. My guess would be it won't be that long. You know, this is affecting probably, tens of thousands of people, and probably more than that. So it's just an unfortunate thing and a very uncharacteristic thing for Google. You know, this is a glitch for the most part and within Google's algorithm. So it's really unfortunate that this is happening. We'll take another one. What would be the ideal link building strategy for the real-time Penguin update? That's a great question. So link building strategies in general, you know, you want to stay away from all the bad stuff, right? All the stuff that's in, you know, the black hat realm. You know, don't buy links from people. Don't compete, you know, don't participate in, you know, guest blogging networks and link building networks, link farming, anything like that, right? You don't want to participate in anything like that. What you want to do is, and, you know, this, it always comes back to content, right? Create engaging, snackable, shareable content, right? Or just content that people will want to read that falls, you know, underneath, you know, within your, you know, within your business. And then from that, you know, that content, you know, go out and make friends in the industry. This is what I always tell people from a link building strategy. Go out and make friends. Go talk to publications. Go talk to publishers. Go talk to affiliates that you may have and say, hey, you know, do you want to write a blog on my site? You can write a blog. I'll write a blog on yours. Even though that's guest blogging, it's not a guest blogging network. That's still a very effective way to do that, right? You know, at the end of the day, and I know I keep saying at the end of the day, but, you know, you really want to, you want to make sure that any link building strategy that you put forward just falls within, you know, it looks natural. Don't go out and buy 200 links, right? Go out and make friends in the industry. Create content that people want to read. Don't make novels. Make shareable content, snackable content, things that don't take 10 minutes to read, something that takes a couple of minutes to read, something that looks good on a phone, and something that people will engage with, because then they will link back to you. And I'm not saying just do let it happen organically, right? You can go out and you can push people. I used to work at an agency. I went out all the time and I talked to publications. Hey, man, you know, we have this piece of content. We have this infographic. Can we do something here? Can we talk about it on your site? Can you link to it? Can you publish it and then link back to our site? It's all about doing things that make sense and doing things that seem natural and not going out and buying a whole lot of stuff. So with the real-time Penguin update, this isn't like a green card to go out and be like, hey, you know, let's go out and let's go buy all these links. You know, it's total green. Let's go. You know, let's go buy and see if we get dinged, we'll just delete them all. Don't do that, because a cloud hangs over your site even after you get any type of penalty with Google. I still believe that. A lot of people don't. But, you know, I still think that a cloud hangs over you after that. So just make sure that what you're doing makes sense, right? And that you don't, you know, that you're going out and you're not buying a bunch of stuff. That you're doing things that, you know, look good, you know, because, again, you know, Google doesn't want you doing any type of link building. They just want you to create good content. But at the end, you know, a lot of people go out and there's nothing wrong with talking to people within the industry, especially with businesses and publications that are in your industry, and sharing links and sharing ideas and sharing blogs. So at the end of the day, that's probably the best way that I would do it. Thanks, Vito, that Weebly is a good alternative to Wix, and they're pretty SEO friendly. So thank you for that. Squarespace is another one. So if you are using Wix and your site has stopped ranking or has fallen out, very sorry about that, but you can probably easily move over to one of these other services. Or even building a site on WordPress is very economical and very easy to do. And with that said, we're right at our half hour. That's all we have. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Thanks for participating. Thanks for the questions. questions. We'll be back next month. There's a lot of stuff already going on in November, which I won't allude to because then I won't have anything to talk about next month. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to reach out. You know, check us on our blog every day. We have a lot of new insights going up, and we'll see you next month. Thanks, guys.